miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. When we were interrupted by that necessary break, we were talking with Dr. Florence Comite. It is CometeMD.com. She's a practicing New York endocrinologist, graduate of Yale Medical School, did a wonderful, stimulating fellowship, if you will, one of the best you could possibly do in reproductive endocrinology, and now is with us for a number of minutes more, only a few minutes more, I'm sorry to say, because it would be wonderful to be longer. But anyway, she's going to talk to us about personalized and preventive medicine, but personalized and precision medicine. Dr. Comite, you were telling us a story about the microbiome and the first fecal transplants. Go ahead and continue that.
Yes, that's a fascinating story. It dates back to a 4th century Chinese physician who prescribed yellow soup as a remedy for severe diarrhea. Actually, also described a cure for malaria fevers with a formula containing artemisinin, a herbal extract which was rediscovered in the 1970s and is part of the standard treatment for disease. So we have a lot to learn from the past, from some of these brilliant folks who naturally tripped across a lot of these cures. In this country in 1958, there was a surgeon at the VA hospital in Denver who reported on the use of fecal transplants for folks who had not responded to treatment and had been on antibiotics, and he had used them from naturally healthy pregnant women, you know, who had just delivered babies and were off antibiotics and saved their lives. So that was fascinating. In my own work, which focuses on the individual, there's a field that's emerging. There's a field that's emerging called precision medicine. Sometimes it's referred to as personalized medicine, where it's all about the individual, something you've known for a long time, looking at the biological age and the real age as opposed to what your chronological age is. That's what I focused on in the last 20 years, collecting data about each person and treating each person as an N equals one, meaning every one of us is different, even identical twins.
And so you've used that to motivate patients. In other words, I know you do work with the thyroid disease and with thyroid cancer, but you use that now to, how do you use the personalized and precision medicine now to help patients?
That's a great question. So all the way from lifestyle to genomics, lifestyle meaning the amount of sleep you get, the way you eat, if you exercise or don't, all the way to genomics, the field that's transformed where we're going to be able to go in medicine, from 180-degree turnaround from treating disease to trying to keep somebody healthy. We're living longer lives. We want to keep our health. And the way we motivate patients is basically drilling in at a deeper level, connecting what their data looks like, what their, when you draw blood, we actually look at every facet from hormones to the way they metabolize sugar to cholesterol to inflammatory markers. And we also look at the way they live life, together with their family history. And by collecting that data, and a lot of it is available routinely, but this approach is not. We don't teach this approach in medical school yet. It's probably another decade off. But it will transform medicine in the way we know medicine today, which is basically getting in and treating somebody who's sick. And we don't have to wait for that, because actually our body starts changing even in the teens and 20s. And you could see diseases like diabetes, obesity, heart disease beginning to take hold at a pretty young age based on nutritional deficiencies, also derived from family history and all the other factors I mentioned. And each one of us is really different.
Now, the question we got asked on our email line, and by the way, anyone can email us at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com, for Dr. Comite. And by the way, her practice is at Comite, C-O-M-I-T-E-M-D.com. Anyone can email us on udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com. The question we got asked is how much of this is genetic lab testing versus taking of history? And can I do this online someplace? Is your practice, you keep mentioning Comite, MD.com, is that a practice site where we can find more information about this? So, Florence, can you help us out?
Absolutely. So, to start, I want to take one step back. I'm an identical twin, and I knew even 20 years or so ago, and my twin is also a smarter doctor than me. She's a dermatologist who also went to Yale. But we are different, even though we're identical. So the genome is of great interest to me, and I've been anticipating genomics for 20 years. But what's far more important is what goes into your lifestyle and your family history. I consider an excellent family history going as far back as we can and as lateral as we can to cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents, great-grandparents, of course, parents and sibs, to be the poor man's genetic test. Genetic tests are going to become amazingly inexpensive. Just a decade ago, it cost Craig Venter $100 million in 9 months to get his genome. This coming year, there are machines put out by Illumina, which is a big genetics company, that will be able to do so for $1,000. And actually, 23andMe, which is no longer able to do so based on the FDA ruling, who wants doctors in the mix. The FDA wants doctors to be able to translate this information, so 23andMe is no longer doing that. But through various sites, you can get your genome. The question is, how do you analyze it? And what you just asked me is closest to my heart, because for 20 years I've waited for the convergence of trends that would bring genomics and digital health to a reality. And I feel that we're there now. And just the last day of 2014, we launched an alpha version of what, for the moment, I'm calling the avatar, because I want it to be fun, where people would be able to upload a questionnaire and be able to get insight into what's going on in their body.
So the avatar is at Comite, C-O-M-I-T-E-M-D.
We can be asked about it. I think the best way to go about doing this is you have your email site, the udocs@gmail.com, and if anybody is interested in more information or wanting to explore it, we are going to be enrolling about 100 folks, which I'm going to consider friends and family of Comite MD, to be able to offer them this online.
Great. So friends and family at ComiteMD.com. You can email us at udocs@gmail.com to get on that. I almost gave the wrong thing. RadioMD.com. You, the owner's manual. Stay well. We'll be right back for the second hour for those programs. Get the second hour.
Green light. Hey, girl. School zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It sounds disgusting, but the average person has 160 varieties, 100 trillion bacteria in their GI tract. Some bacteria are beneficial, many are not. Undesirable bacteria can leave you feeling tired and sluggish and bloated. A simple solution, Natron's Healthy Trinity. You've heard of Healthy Trinity. It's the premier probiotic that's been helping millions of people with digestive problems for over 20 years. This powerful probiotic can help optimize digestion, promote healthy immune, colon, and liver liver function. And with a healthy digestive system, you'll gain focus and energy, and you'll feel so much better. Here's a special offer, 20% off a 3-month supply of Healthy Trinity. This is a limited time offer with a money back guarantee. Get 20% off right now. Call 866-4-NATRIN or go to natrin.com. Enter promo code RadioMD for the discount. Don't miss a single day without taking your Healthy Trinity. Natrin.com.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD. We have a special guest for you, going to talk about your microbiome. That's right, about your poop and the bacteria in it. Dr. Florence Comite, and the website is ComiteMD.com, ComiteMD.com, is a Manhattan endocrinologist, graduate of Yale University School of Medicine, and she trained in medicine, pediatrics, gynecology, and andrology with a fellowship in reproductive endocrinology at the National Institute of Health, one of the prestigious places to do that type of work. So, Dr. Comite, how did you get into this field of looking at poop?
Well, let me thank you, first of all, for that great introduction, and I appreciate it. Basically, my own approach to medicine and managing folks, having been trained in a number of areas of specialization, is to look at the individual. And we know the individual is affected by the way he lives life or she lives life, the food she eats or he eats, the genes, the family history. And all of those factors are also influenced by the bacteria that live within us. And that's what the whole story on poop is about. The notion that actually only 10% of us is human genome, but 90% of us is microbial genome.
And where are we? I talked a little bit earlier in the program before you got on about Stan Hazen's work, since Stan's at the Cleveland Clinic, and I thought his work this year was probably the most important medical story of the year, which really introduced all of us to how dangerous or the negative effects of poop. Obviously, there'll probably be some positive ones as well. But how did you happen to get into this field of was it just a natural evolution in your work with patients, or how did you happen to go into this
field?
Well,
there probably
you've been in this field a long time.
I have. The field that I'm describing, just to be clear, is personalization or precision medicine. And the reason it captured my interest, the notion that the bacteria and other little organisms that live inside of us can have such an impact on our health in a variety of ways, from the immune system and inflammatory disease to obesity and diabetes, was based on a talk I heard from somebody who was involved at NYU in the study of H. pylori, or the bug that's associated with stomach cancer and ulcers. And the other two people who are very important in the field were both Larry Smarr, who's an astrophysicist out on the West Coast at Stanford, who evaluated his own stool only to find out that he had a strange mix of bugs, which probably led to his late onset as an adult in his 50s or 60s of Crohn's disease, usually diagnosed much earlier in life. And the third huge influence was a scientist who used to be at Yale, who's now at Stanford, and he's the director of genomics and personalized medicine. His name is Mike Snyder, and he's doing work looking at what the particles are in our blood as we go through health and illness, how they correlate with genes, and what is going on in our stool in terms of bacteria and other organisms through sickness and health. And I think those are three huge influences that I've had in the past decade.
So now the one naturally wants to find out, how does our stool change and what can we do to make it right? So Stan Hazen's work showed that if you have red meat or pork or egg yolks, sugar and sugar substitutes from some other work from Israel, that those things change the bacteria to produce TMA, trimethylamine, or beta-butyrol, which cause inflammation in our body. We haven't, at least Stan hasn't told us how to avoid that other than avoiding food. But you do much more than that. How do you use what you're doing now to change how people eat or what else they do to change the bacteria in the, inside them?
So as you mentioned, food and what we eat could change what makes up our stool in terms of the bacteria. Exactly what's cause and effect is really not well known or understood. So we're still at the beginning of this research, both in terms of the negatives and positives. I think the most compelling research that's gone on has been in C. difficile, or a bug that takes over the gut of people who are ill and might be on broad-spectrum antibiotics and wipes out our natural bacteria. This happens to everybody in terms of antibiotics. It really changes the nature of our stool. But C. difficile is a killer. And people who get that disease, and I think it's about 50,000 a year, a good percentage of them die. And what was shown is that a fecal transplant, that is stool from healthy individuals, can save their life. And this work has been going on in Australia, in Sydney, and in this country for several years now. I think it got a special dispensation from the FDA. As far as what to do at this point in time, I think the most general input that I could give without knowing specifics about a particular individual's case is that eating more like our relatives from centuries ago ate when we were hunters and gatherers will probably change our stool most effectively and maybe even help us deal with diseases and stay healthy for a longer time. In fact, there's a great study going on in Tanzania with a small tribe of people by a Dr. Leach. And what he has looked at is these are the sort of one of the last areas in the world that they've been able to isolate a tribe that doesn't have the influence of living in our modern society where the kinds of foods we eat may not be the best for our gut or our gut flora. And this particular group is providing information that's still undergoing analysis to look at what their stools are made of. And there are a lot of organisms in their stool that we don't have anymore in our stool. And there are also organisms in our world that don't exist in their world. So exactly how that all works together is really under study right now by a lot of folks.
And tell me how the... Now, this is being studied in a tribe. What you mentioned about Crohn's disease, and which is a inflammatory bowel disease, there are a number of bowel diseases that seem to be affected by this. How do you go about approaching these in your own practice?
Well, one of the most fascinating pieces that I've read recently is in the New Yorker, in the December 1st New Yorker. You're probably familiar with that story, and it was well written because it touched on various aspects of health. And one of the most fascinating pieces of information that I wasn't aware of is that the first known account of fecal transplantation, and what we're calling this procedure is FMT, or fecal microbiota, and that's the bacteria that we're describing, transplantation. And it was actually dates back to the 4th century Chinese handbook by the physician Jay Hung, who prescribed yellow soup that was actually a fecal suspension as a remedy for severe diarrhea. And many folks with Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, and others have conditions that remain uncontrollable, and they get frequent bouts of disease.
We're going to have to take a hard break right now, Dr. Clemente. I apologize. We've got commercials to support us. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about microbiome, and we'll resume this story on RadioMD.com. Stay well.
Itching, pain, and soreness during sex? General feelings of vaginal discomfort and dryness? You are not alone. Vaginal dryness is a very common condition that can profoundly affect your everyday life and your sex life. The dryness you are experiencing doesn't reflect your desire to have sex. There are tons of moisturizers and lubricants on the market today, but who wants to put harsh chemicals down there? Prevalief Oasis is an intimate moisturizer with natural ingredients. You don't need to fret over the hazardous chemicals in Prevalief Oasis Vagina Moisturizer. It's paraben-free, hormone-free, fragrance-free, and rapidly absorbing. It provides immediate comfort and relief. You can find out more information on the Prevalief Oasis product and all the great Prevalief products at Prevalief.com, P-R-E-V-A-L-E-A-F.com, to stop your itching fast and find relief right now. Prevalief.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case,
my arm is fine.
Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.